Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
Good to see a pretty good crowd. I saw we had 97 here last week in the bulletin. That was a big crowd, and it probably had something to do with all that food downstairs. Well, it may not feel like Thanksgiving Day today, since it's so warm outside. I think it's probably 75 or 78 degrees, but earlier in the week it started to feel like Thanksgiving. And we all have our traditions at Thanksgiving. They seem to change over the years as our families change. But whatever our traditions are, if we do this right, we'll take time to consider our blessings. And we'll take special time to voice thanks to God for his provision. Psalm 100, I'm going to go to Psalm 100 here in a couple minutes. It tells us to enter God's presence with thankfulness. And God views giving thanks as a sacrifice to him. It's often described as a sacrifice of the wise versus the sacrifice of fools, which is another topic altogether. But we all have our various traditions. Some involve traveling across the country to see family. Many involved athletic competitions, like years ago in the Stiers' front yard. All the guys would get together and play football in the front yard, and usually somebody would get hurt. That was just one of our little traditions. But all of our traditions usually involve enormous amounts of food, of course. And, you know, there's leftovers for days or most of the week, actually, after Thanksgiving dinner. Oftentimes, traditions include taking a few minutes and talking at the table about something that we're thankful for, one thing that we're thankful for, and that can get into a nice, long, fun, fruitful, blessed conversation. God hears the thankfulness that we voice to him. So let's go and take a look at how God views thanks today. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. What a way to begin a Thanksgiving dinner than for somebody to maybe read that out. From the Treasury of David, written by Charles Spurgeon in the late 1800s, here's a comment he has about Psalm 100. The title is a psalm of praise, or rather of thanksgiving. This is the only psalm bearing this precise inscription. It's ablaze with adoration and has for this reason been a great favorite with the people of God ever since it was written. With one consent, let all the earth to God their cheerful voices raise. So from this passage, we could glean really several commands. I counted 7 or 8. Maybe there's more, but I'm going to go through a few of these. The first one is, it says, shout to the Lord. Even if we can't sing, we could all make a loud noise. We can shout, sing aloud, or make music. In Spurgeon's notes here, he notes that the original word signifies a glad shout, such as loyal subjects give when their king appears before them. He goes on further to write that our God should be worshipped every day. He should be thanked every day. The second that we could get from this passage in Psalm 100 is do something. Do something for God. We do this because God gives us joy. Second fruit of the Spirit's joy. Not only does he give us joy, he also gives us happiness. In this psalm, it meant that they actually did it in the temple. There's no temple now, as we know, but we're God's temple, and we're his servants everywhere. A third gleaning from Psalm 100 is, we must come to where the Lord is. We can sing to him or just talk to him. He's always very near to us. He will always hear what we say, think, or sing. A fourth point from Psalm 100, we must know who the Lord is. Lord is just one name for God. We know that God has many names. But in this psalm, two are referred to. One is God. In Hebrew, this means that he is more powerful than anyone else. The other is Lord. This is a name that his servants use. It's a very special name that means many things. Two of those are, aren't you happy about this? God is faithful to his servants, and his servants are faithful to him. A fifth element from Psalm 100, and there's many more. We should say thank you to the Lord for everything that he provides for us. So especially now that we're in November, and I've heard November referred to a lot this year as Thanksgiving month. You know, isn't that wonderful to have a Thanksgiving month and not just one day? It's like in our family, Sherry especially loves this, but when we have birthdays, it's not just a birthday. It's usually a birthday week. You know, Sherry loves that especially. We celebrate Sherry all week long when it's her birthday. Of course, we celebrate Sherry every day anyway, right, Sherry? But I'd like to look further at what God says about this condition of being thankful. Why is thankfulness or gratitude something God is interested in? Why should we, especially as God's people, embrace a spirit of thanks, not only towards mankind, but especially towards God himself? Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I love this verse. Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your word and by your will they existed and were created." Everyone here, all of mankind, was created to worship God, to praise God, to give him thanks. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, it says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." And Matthew 22, verse 32 says, "Love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind." So this means it's something to consider on Thanksgiving month here. This means our heart, soul, and mind are primarily, mainly, it's the main thing, are to worship God. There are so many instances where God requests our thankfulness, and he knows it's good for us to be personally thankful. I'd like to go to the book of Deuteronomy next. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. My headliner there is, it says, "Remember the Lord your God, warnings about forgetting the Lord." And are we ever guilty of this, forgetting God? Verse 1, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land. of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Imagine if anybody has any age on them, your shoes not wearing out in 40 years, your feet not swelling for 40 years. Amazing. That was an amazing provision by God. And God calls us to remember these things and to be thankful to him. Verse 5, you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and you are full, just like what happens every day, but how about this a couple Thursdays from now? When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. God does bless us. It's amazing how much he blesses us. And he expects us to be grateful for his blessings. Another favorite, probably of all of us here, showing how God considers a thankful heart, is Psalm 50. Psalm chapter 50. I've got the whole chapter written out here, but I'm going to go to verse 14. Psalm 50, verse 14. It says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. That's a mouthful right there, isn't it? If anybody ever has a day of trouble, rest on this. 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. That's amazing that we could just call on him, and he'll deliver us. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I'll rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Verse 22, now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Two pivotal structural words. Verse 14, thanksgiving, and verse 23, praise. So let's look into that a moment. I was a little surprised to learn when I looked it up, it's exactly the same Hebrew word. And it's, does anybody know what it is? Good. Todah. Todah. Strong's number 08426, if you want to look at that sometime. It means confession, praise, thanksgiving. Give praise to God. Thanksgiving and songs of worship hymns of praise, thanksgiving choir or procession or line or company, thank offering, sacrifice of thanksgiving, even confession. That word occurs 32 times in the King James Version. Thanksgiving, 18 times. Praise, 6 times. Thanks, 3. Thank offerings, 3. Confession, 2. So God appreciates and loves our praisefulness and thankfulness. So how can that be a practical application for us today, even all of Thanksgiving month? I've got these listed as thing to do, number one, thing to do, number two, that sort of thing. Thing to do, number one, start a count your blessings list. Take time. Take time sometime and get your pad of paper out and write down what you're thankful for. I've done that over the years, and it's changed over time. Imagine that, things I'm thankful for. You know, once upon a time I didn't have grandchildren, but now I have grandchildren. So that's an awesome thing to be thankful for. Where's Amelia, by the way? Oh, I don't see her. Okay. Well, there she is. Now look at here now. I'm acting just like Fred Keller's. Look at that sweet baby over there. I'll just sit down and go play with the baby now. That's a little girl that I'm really thankful for. Just an abbreviation of the list here that I've got. And I wrote on my list, blessings counted and reasons for thanks. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. First on my list, for having a basis and reason for living, because of God caring enough about me to give me understanding early in life. Early in life, very early. I didn't have to wait around until I was 18 or 19 or 20 to start learning about God's truth. My mother said, I kind of had it, even when I was a little boy. I kind of had it. And when she finally ran across the truth herself, I embraced it. I'm the only one in my family who still embraces it. Number two is my family. And there's a few people in my family, a few physical people in my family, but here's the family. Here's the family. Amazing. We got to go to Greece this year. I saw people in Greece this year that I haven't seen since 1987. I heard one person post, he posted that he had counted close to 70 Ambassador College students in Greece this year. That's roughly 10% of the whole feast. And I think I saw all of them. I couldn't believe it. I saw an accounting professor that I hadn't seen since 1990 or 91 or something like that. And I told him about my accounting career because I hadn't seen him since then, and how the things that he taught me in class, I applied in my accounting career. He was tickled to pieces to hear that. That's part of the family. All those people at the feast, all the people at the feast that we all attended are family, and I'm thankful for that. Number three on my list, how about having a good, steady source of work, full of opportunity, a reason to get up every day to go out, kill something, and drag it home for my family? Amazing. Just amazing. You know, I did my bloody days out in the corporate finance world, and I got out of that after a long time. But now I'm an entrepreneur. And the days are bloody there, too. It's amazing. It's amazing. I got Someone says, one time, or let me tell you something about the office. I got 8 different bosses, and every time I do something wrong, I get to hear about it 8 times. Well, I think Sherry and I counted, 25 or 30 bosses that we got right now? Something like that. They're all names up on our board, and we're accountable, every single one of them. But I love it. I just love it. We've got good work to do that takes care of our needs. Fourth on my list, for having enough good food to eat and the fun, I love cooking. You can tell, it's fun. I love cooking. Anybody who remembers Camp Tomahawk, I'm sure most of us do, Sherry said, I want to start this camp, but I don't want to have anything to do with the kitchen. I said, just let me have the kitchen. That'll be so much fun. So we got to play restaurant at Camp Tomahawk there for 9 years. It was awesome. But some people don't have enough food. It's really amazing how much. Sometimes we go to the pantry and it looks like there's stuff in there that's just going to take a little bit of time to fix. And oftentimes Sherry will say, there's just nothing in here to eat. It's like, well, hold on just a second. And 2 hours later, somehow miraculously, it's always a miracle, this glorious dinner just appears. But we wouldn't have to go grocery shopping for probably 3 months. There's so much food in a freezer and that. We're very blessed. All of us are. I got so many of these, I could just keep on going, but I'm going to wind up with this one. How about for having access to God's Word? Oh, God's Word. That's what I'm thankful for. There's nothing that isn't answered in God's Word. Read the Word and the answers come to you. Any ethical decision that there is to make, you'll find the answer very easily in the Bible. And there's no reason on the world that all of us can't be extremely, oh, get this, well-versed in the Bible, with as many resources as we have. If you're vexed, take a look at the text. It will solve your vexing. I'm going to kind of finish up here. I'm going to read a little bit from a gentleman named Mike Adams, who wrote an article entitled, Heal Yourself in 15 Days with the Attitude of Gratitude. He says, there's a very real healing effect that's initiated in your body when you express gratitude. We can all test that later, by the way. If everybody goes to somebody else after services today and say, I'm thankful to you for this, wow, wouldn't that be a great way to end services today? When you express gratitude towards people or things outside of yourself, some of this effect can be measured biochemically, while other aspects of it are currently beyond scientific measurement. But the bottom line is irrefutable. Expressing gratitude initiates a powerful healing effect in our own bodies, or our own minds and bodies. So what do you have to be happy about? Continuing here. Getting to this gratitude, however, isn't always so easy. Being able to genuinely express gratitude requires you to shift your focus away from the things that are negative and toward those things that you feel thankful for. And as you already know, it's very easy to forget to be thankful for all the amazing things we experience daily. Many of us living in Western society tend to focus on what we don't have. We think we don't have enough money, we don't have enough time, we don't have the partner we're looking for, and so on. And in that exercise, which can frankly dominate our day-to-day thinking if we're not careful, we tend to ignore those amazing things that we do have. So the more we can step back and examine what we already experience that's valuable to us, the more we can focus on gratitude, and the more we can accelerate our own inner healing as a result. So here's the author's list. of some of the things which you may find gratitude. I think it's kind of neat that it sort of echoes the list that I have. The first one is your health. Even if this isn't perfect health, we can appreciate the good health that we have. The second one is your family. And he says physical, and don't forget spiritual. The third, get this, our freedoms in this country are unmatched. Your intelligence, your memories. Isn't it wonderful that you could be going through a trial or a struggle or something like that, and a song comes on the radio that you heard when you were 6 years old, and all of a sudden you have a memory of when times were better when you were 6 years old, and all of a sudden that worry or concern just floats away. His next one on the list is sunshine and nature, and isn't today a beautiful day to be thankful for? I mean, middle of November, late November, usually isn't quite this nice, but it is today. He goes on, food, your job, our desire and ability to learn new things. That's what excites me. Every day I get a chance to learn something. Somebody will call me on the phone and ask me if I'd considered something. It's like, no, I hadn't. I guess I learned my thing for the day. He goes on, spiritual understanding and growth. And here's one that's especially fond of a lot of people these days, is our pets and our animal companions. Something to be thankful for. The Bible's full of God's guidance that we're to be a people full of praise and thanksgiving for Him. He has every right to prescribe that for us, and He knows that being thankful is good for us. It's a healer for us. God's Word is full of exhortations to be thankful. If you want some examples of those, come see me after services, and I'll give you, because I've got about 1,000 verses here. God's Word is full of examples of thankfulness to God. God's Word is full of examples of people who were thankful, and for what reasons. But God's Word is also full of examples of ingratitude, backsliding, forsaking, returning evil for good. And it's easy enough to look those up, and I don't have any of those written out because I don't want to be negative. But we know it's true. And the ultimate reason to constantly show an attitude of gratitude to God, 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10 says, "But you are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God, who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. At one time, you were not a people, but now you are God's people. In the past, you had never received mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. What more reason than that to show God our thankfulness to Him?"